Choir directors are creative, resourceful, dedicated, and sometimes completely out of ideas. Not to worry, the Choir Ninja Podcast is here with solutions you never saw coming. Get ready for some training, wisdom, and inspiration from the masters. Let Ryan Guth guide your journey to becoming a choir ninja.
What's the best part about being a ninja? The gear. It's the nunchucks, the katanas, the throwing stars. It's the same for choir ninjas. The difference between an ordinary and a masterful performance may come down to your most basic and essential piece of equipment, your music folder. My Music Folders creates a superior product, and they do it with a smile. And because they are friends of the podcast, they have a killer deal for you right now. Get the bulk purchase price break without having to buy in bulk. So whether you have to restock your entire classroom or you just need to replace a few folders, you will get the best possible pricing on the best possible product. So like a ninja, sneak on over to mymusicfolders.com and use the code NINJA when you check out.
Today's episode is brought to you by SightReadingFactory.com. Do you hate teaching sight singing? Do you have a carbon footprint the size of Sasquatch because you run off endless sheets of sight singing examples only to hear your students groan in agony when it's time to sight sing in rehearsal? SightReadingFactory.com is a web-based tool that will compose custom sight reading examples based on specifications that you choose. Your choir will actually enjoy sight singing, and so will you. Plus, you will get back hours of your life and finally feel like the choir ninja you were destined to be. If that isn't cool enough, you can add student accounts that link directly to your teacher dashboard so your kids can practice or even take recorded assessments from home. As a sponsor of this show, SightReadingFactory.com has an exclusive deal just for you, Choir Nation. When you purchase their insanely affordable one-year subscription, you will unlock 10 free student accounts just for using the promo code NINJA at checkout. That's Ninja, N-I-N-J-A. So head over to SightReadingFactory.com. That's SightReadingFactory.com. And don't forget to use the promo code NINJA at checkout to unlock your 10 student accounts absolutely free. Hey there, Choir Nation. This is Ryan Guth with the Choir Ninja Podcast, and I am here with Greg Ashurst. And Greg is going to be exploring some technology tools and software that he uses in his choral classroom to make it more efficient, have more fun, and enhance the learning of his choir members. Now, Greg is also very heavily involved in the handbell world and even has a set of mallets named after him, which is pretty cool. I think, Greg, you're probably the first person on my podcast that ever had some type of physical equipment named after them. So that's pretty awesome. And so, Greg, without further ado, I want to introduce you to the crowd. So thank you for being on the show.
Well, thanks for having me.
So little, just quick trivia. What's up with the mallets? How did that happen?
So I've been playing handbells, I guess, since I was probably a freshman in high school, which is a long time ago. And for about 20 years, I had been asking friends in the handbell manufacturers, the two main manufacturers, why do they use ORF mallets instead of percussionist mallets, you know, full-length marimba and xylophone shaft mallets. And they kept just blowing me off and saying, nah, don't worry about it. That's good. We're not doing anything. They're happy with their sales. And I guess about 6 years ago, Schomerk came under new ownership, and I happened to be sitting in up on top of the hotel in Portland, Oregon at one of the director seminars, and I was really pushing my idea to him, and he said, you design it, we'll market it. And so I spent 2 or 3 years with different people, different friends, having them listen to the mallets and different manufacturers and trying to find what would bring out the best sound while still having a normal percussionist length shaft where you could hold four mallets at a time and play four mallets and still get a deep fundamental sound with the mallets. And so here we are a few years later.
Well, there you go.
They're selling well. It's great.
Well, you know, I have to say, I – so – If Choir Nation may or may not know this, but I used to have a handbell group that was sponsored by Malmark Handbells, Schulmerich's competitor. Yet, I did not use the Malmark mallets all the time because most of them were crocheted. And the problem with the crocheted mallets is that they would eventually just deteriorate and fall off, like the yarn would fall off. So I've never played Greg's mallets, you know, but I could imagine that Greg knows what he's doing, and he probably made some awesome mallets. And I'm probably going to hear from Tim Schubach, the president of Malmark, if he listens to this episode. But
it's funny because Tim and I are friends. He's a great guy, and we're I try to teach people that it's not just one mallet. You know, you get the sound you want, and so you probably should have 2, 3, 4, 5 mallets per the range of bells that you're playing, so that you can get sometimes a more staccato sound, more articulate.
So we don't need we don't only need yours. We could probably supplement others in there too.
You probably should. Yes.
Well, there you go. So hey, Choir Nation, if you're a handbell choir director, check out Greg's mallets. But you know what? There are other ones out there that might help you get the sound you want too. So all right,
get the sound you want.
So let's jump into this episode about technology. Now, you have some things listed that we're going to talk about that I've actually never heard of before, and I'm wondering if and I think we'll start with those two. The two that I have never heard of are Symbaloo and Soundtrap, and I'm interested in knowing how you, as a vocal choir director, incorporate Symbaloo and Soundtrap into your program. Are they similar things? Or are they different things?
They are completely different. They serve different purposes, which is great because it's two tools that my students know and they love. Symbaloo, they go right away to the website, which is symbaloo.com.
Symbaloo.com. Okay.
And there are many other websites that do this, and so I'm not really pushing one website or the other. I'm just telling you what my students and I use. And it's basically almost like your own homepage with multiple tiles. I think mine right here has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, like 50 tiles. And you create a tile and you add in the URL to that tile, or you add in a specific document like a Google Doc that you use, or a website or some application, and you create that tile. And it's always a homepage that you can quickly move from one spot to the other within your rehearsal. And showing on a Promethean board.
So this is the kind of thing, I'm sorry to interrupt you real quick.
Yeah.
This is the kind of thing that you would set your Symbaloo as your new homepage when you open your browser?
That's correct. And within Symbaloo, you can have 3, 4, 5 different tabs. So you could set it, you know, different periods, different leveled groups that you have, or even different places if you're a church musician versus school musician, and you can always have it in your one account. You can even borrow other people's Symbaloos. So if you search a high school choir, possibly, or a middle school choir, and search out what Symbaloos they might have, you can come up with some great ideas of websites that are out there or applications that are out there and use that. And so you click on the tile, it sends you right to that web page or that image or whatever it is you created the tile to do. And so transitioning from one activity in your rehearsal to the next is seamless.
And you're not typing in URLs and going through and finding things. Okay, wow.
Yes. And it's always there. Like on this page, there are 50 tiles on this one page. Like I said, you can have many tabs. So it's very seamless. You could even sort of create a treasure map, I guess, from one tile to the next to give people a continuous learning environment as it goes on throughout the year, even if you did it by units. But I have it set even all the way to the right. I have Sight Reading Factory ready to go so that they can just instantly jump to that website, do the sight reading, and then move away to the next thing.
Can you have Sight Reading Factory all set up and configured with is there a way to grab the URL of like the configuration of the sight reading example you want?
I'm pretty sure that's a good question because mine's only going to the homepage, and you've now maybe changed. Maybe I'll have a whole new tab of just Sight Reading Factory.
Well, because I'm thinking, because if you have like a three-part women's treble choir or something like that, and you just want to queue up to like, okay, it's the beginning of the year, let's just do level twos with them or something in this key or whatever, you can have a Symbaloo bookmark that is set up to go directly to that particular style of sight reading.
Absolutely.
There might be a way to do that. I'm just thinking because the URL is going to have all that information in there.
Exactly. The URL directs you right where you need to go. So I'll answer that soon, I guess.
Okay.
We might have to come back and investigate that.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Okay, well, so Symbaloo. So basically, I'm thinking of ways to use it right now. I'm thinking, okay, if we need to reference our concert calendar in a PDF form that's hosted online somewhere, if we need to reference maybe our choir handbook or something like that,
that's one
area in your Symbaloo. You could also do particular sight reading stuff. You could have maybe links to YouTube channels of choirs that you want to check into and watch an example of something or whatever. Or you could even preset, like, if you found great examples of choirs singing your entire concert program on YouTube.
Exactly, yes.
You could have one tab for your whole concert program and listen, you know, have people listen to examples, or you could even maybe do practice tracks on your Symbaloo and share those with your choir too.
Correct. And what I do is I upload many of the accompaniment files to the pieces we're doing. If I don't have an accompanist with me available, or if I need it, if I'm accompanying but I don't want to do the work right then, I just click, I have all the files in an accompaniment tab of every piece I need right there. And so you just click on it and it starts.
That's great. Or maybe you could even have like a Symbaloo tab that's like things that need to be done by your choir. Like, I don't know, particular forms at the beginning of the year or things like that.
Oh, yeah, 100%. That's what we do have. I have my band handbook for my band students on one. I have the choir handbook on another. And I have a youth choir at a church, a local church, and all of their materials are linked in Symbaloo. They just click on that page.
Great. Well, hey, listen, Choir Nation, I would love to see if maybe you would post in the Choir Nation group your Symbaloo if you use it, or maybe after you listen to this interview, you should definitely consider using it, putting together one, and sharing that URL with us for your own Symbaloo so we can see how you use it. I know that people are going to be just jumping off this episode. They're going to be screeching and tires in traffic right now, pulling over to create one. So
to create one, yeah.
Awesome.
The great thing is about this is, you know, the technology is changing daily, and so I would love to even hear what other people are doing with that. It's
Greg, cool, you got to get in the Choir Nation Facebook group. So
I will actually be doing that today.
So perfect. All right. So the next one I see on this list is Soundtrap. Is this a website?
It's a web-based music creation software. It does have notation, but it also has where you can add loops. And so depending on the style of music you're doing with your ensemble, you can just, if you just need a warm-up where it's a drum beat, you just throw in the loops of whatever drum, you know, they have many, many of drum beats you select.
So it's like GarageBand?
It's like GarageBand, but the notation aspect of it is much more robust. And so my students, each one of my eighth graders must create a composition by the end of their year. So their year-long project, really it focuses on the spring semester, but their year-long project is to create a composition. 2 years ago, they had to do their own American folk song any way they wanted. I had a young man who loved DJ music. And so instead of using Soundtrap, he had his own DJ stuff. But most of my kids use Soundtrap, and they spend the whole year creating and adding loops, or they'll ask one of their friends to record the verse and then they'll use that live recording. Some of them prefer just to do a notation and the recording comes later. I've written in the notation and they use some other software we'll talk about, I think, later. And so it's really, I don't want to say it does everything you need, but as far as music notation or recording live or even MIDI instruments, which I do when I'm inputting some accompaniment things, it's a great tool for adding accompaniments.
So is this completely web-based?
It is completely web-based. It is completely integrated with Google. Classroom. Oh, well, not complete. Yeah, it's integrated with Google Classroom, and you send your projects over, and you have a classroom. You divide your groups up. There's an educational admin side to it. You select your seats, you assign them to different groups, and you make your assignments through Google Classroom.
Okay, so is this a free service or a paid service?
It is not. It is a paid service, but I had the price, but it was not that expensive per student. Okay. It was worth the price.
Okay, now how about Symbaloo? Symbaloo is a free service, right?
Symbaloo is completely free, and I do my best to try the free stuff as much as I can, and Symbaloo is one that works quite well.
Okay.
There was a music notation app called flat.io, but I believe they've moved to a paid subscription as well.
Okay, it looks like the Soundtrap EDU pricing...
$5, is that right?
It's $249 a year up to 50 users.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Okay.
And then basically 100 users is $489 a year. So now compare that to something like Sight Reading Factory, which right now is only $35 a year. I mean, this is definitely a step. This is definitely a step up, a couple steps up when it comes to price.
It is. But if your music program incorporates composition, it's the best. It's one of the best tools to do that if you don't already have a notation software. But it allows you quite a bit of freedom, not just the notation, but different forms of making music, of making a music composition.
So this would be instead of buying classroom licenses for like a Finale or a Sibelius kind of thing. This would replace that.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Especially at a student level.
You know, high school, maybe AP theory or composition class, something like that would be good.
Most definitely. In fact, the school district where I live, I'm trying to show them how to use it within their composition, evolve their curriculum to match what I'm doing with my middle school students, but so they can use it in their high school.
Great. Okay. So what is the next item you want to discuss after Soundtrap?
I guess since we're in the kind of the same mode, let's talk about Audacity.
Okay.
Because
I'm familiar with that one.
It's podcast, the great thing is it's free. And so what makes it wonderful is that you can use, if you're using Soundtrap, you create it and the students want to do it solely through creating the music as notation. Of course, my students, their assignment was to have a 3-minute recording of a 3-minute piece. And so many of them, many, many, many use Audacity to record and produce their recording, their final composition, right before they turn it in. I can't say enough about all the because it is free, it has so much, and it has so many wonderful things, you know, fade in, fade out. You can cut tracks. You can even teach your students how to do a recording session if you want to show them. I've taken my choirs to the Disney workshops where they do it's a recording session. You know, you rehearse 8 measures, you record it. You rehearse 8 measures, record it. It works great for a situation where you're doing this over weeks and weeks, and you want to, if you have fellow musicians just learning a little bit of the music at a time, you splice it in later. Now, this is not, you know, live performance situation, but that's how a recording studio works.
That's great. Okay, so Audacity. So I'm using Adobe Audition to record this because I'm a little bit of a diva and there's some power there. That's
absolutely
that's pretty awesome. But seriously, there are so many podcasters that use exclusively Audacity, and I guarantee you there are some highly rated iTunes podcasts that are like a little more mainstream that people listen to that are recorded on Audacity and you wouldn't even know it. So it's pretty great. It's pretty great.
Yeah.
So, and you know, this is the kind of thing where you could, you know, you could have students. I used to do an assignment where I had students, like if they had to miss a concert, they needed to record them singing along with their practice track, the repertoire for the concert that they missed.
100%. And if you've recorded your concert in Audacity, if you've recorded your concert, challenge them to put themselves inside that recording.
Right, exactly.
It's a hard challenge, but if you know, if they missed it for reasons that they chose to miss, mm-hmm. make it a good challenge.
Right, exactly. You're going to figure it out. So
and if you have accompanists that would just like to come in, play piano and record your accompaniments, you don't get much better as far as a free program, free application than Audacity.
Yeah. So, you know, and let's add to that, the microphone you're using right now is really great. And I feel like you could set this up in your classroom and record your accompanist and be able to play back if you need, if you're not a super great pianist, you might want to record your accompanist with this microphone. What is the microphone you're using?
Right now I'm using a Blue, is the brand trademark, Yeti, Y-E-T-I, Blue Yeti. And it's absolutely incredible. It's USB. You plug it right in. In fact, I have my earbuds plugged into the bottom of this, so there really is no other sound source needed. You can adjust the disbursement and how the mic, the diaphragms record. You can change the room ambiance a little bit. You adjust the gain. You can mute it like this. It's a wonderful, wonderful mic.
Yeah, it's a great mic. A lot of podcasters use it too, but it's very versatile. He even, Greg even adjusted it before we got on to record, and it picked up less ambient room noise. Here,
I'll talk a little bit and try to change the buttons as I'm moving throughout. Hang on one second. Around the other side and change the sounds as it moves out, and you can see it sort of changes.
Oh yeah, I can hear the whole room now.
Let me get back to where we were. Yeah, there we go. And it really does. And so it depends on what recording. If you want the room noise for a live recording, absolutely. But if you're trying to do this podcast type situation, or you're recording a singer and you want to specifically nail that track, just that voice, it works well.
Yeah, it's a great, great microphone. A lot of people I know use it in many different fashions. So we'll put a link to Amazon to the Blue Yeti, and if Choir Nation goes through that link, then we will receive an affiliate commission for that. So if you want to help support the podcast, you can buy your Blue Yeti through my link, which will be at choir.ninja/127 for episode 127. So you'll find the show notes for Greg's episode, links to all these things we're talking about, as well as the links to Amazon to buy a microphone if you want. Okay, so what is the next thing? It looks like smart music is on my list.
Smart music is such a great application, and I believe many people use smart music, and it is just a great way to assess students and to really have a free accompaniment for half of the stuff you need if you don't have an accompanist readily available. You can buy practice room subscriptions. You can buy just the classic version where you have the one subscription for your classroom. And now they've moved into these student subscriptions where you assign your class specific lines out of a method book or a piece of music, and then they have access to that accompaniment wherever they are, and they can practice right there. And it certainly saves you time with regard to finding those accompaniments for many tens of thousands of titles out there. Band, orchestra, choir, solo voice, lots of great stuff.
I remember when this was just starting and people were having to like scan their music, and it would, in like Finale would try to like
it,
make
correct.
It look right, but it wasn't right at all. And they're like, yeah, we're not really on Coral so much yet. You know, we got a lot of band stuff. I remember the smart music rep coming into the school district I was working at, and I'm like, what a crock! But apparently, this has gotten good. So
it has gotten good. And here's the thing: you can do so much with Finale files now. Create the assessments and things like that with the Finale. I remember we were talking about the beginnings of this. One of my first teaching jobs was at a school that was not very well off financially. And I went to the supervisor of music and I said, I really want the smart music module. And this was an actual machine when the computers didn't do much of the work. You had to buy, and it was a $1,600 machine where you put in little almost 8-track looking cartridges.
Oh my gosh.
It's come a long, long way.
Well, now, we don't use the sight reading component of smart music because there's a better solution.
There really is. There really is. The Sight Reading Factory, I'm going to go to that website right now while we're talking. I might even let you take over some of this.
Sure. Well, I'll tell you, Choir Nation, sightreadingfactory.com has been a sponsor of this episode since we began. We had transitioned from the Find Your Forte podcast into the Choir Ninja podcast back in February. And we had some initial interviews back in February 2017 when we switched over to the name to Choir Ninja. And we talked about how to perfectly implement Sight Reading Factory into your program every single day. And since then, people have been going crazy, running wild with Sight Reading Factory. And, now Don and Adam, the owners, are like my best friends because Choir Nation has been sending so many people to sign up for Sight Reading Factory. One little thing to mention is it is something that you should use every day in your classroom, especially if you have your Symbaloo set up the way I think it can be set up. There's no excuse. It'll take 5 minutes. You do a sight reading example and you're done. But if you want detailed information on that, go back to February on the podcast and listen to the one with Chris Muntz and John Duncan. The two of them go through how they do it every single day. Step by step. It's like a 45-minute episode, but it is completely thorough. The cool thing about Sight Reading Factory is that you can create sight reading examples based on specifications that you choose. And that might be voicing, key, time signature, difficulty level. It'll allow you to cheat by adding in do or la-based minor solfege syllables, that are directly superimposed on top of the notes, during your sight reading example. The sight reading examples are completely original because it's a computer algorithm that composes the example. It's not just coming from a database. So no two examples are ever alike. And it's really an amazing piece of software. Choir Nation gets a discount. Not a discount. They actually get 10 free student accounts when they sign up for a one-year subscription with Sight Reading Factory, which is only $35. Like right now, you can use it on a whiteboard in your classroom for $35 a year, or a smart board. I call them whiteboards. A smart board in your classroom for $35 a year. You can project it for your whole choir to see. But if you want to go like one step further, use the promo code NINJA with me. When you check out, you'll get 10 free student accounts. And then the cool thing is you can assess your students at home. You can buy as many student accounts as you want. And the more you buy, the cheaper they become. And so you can say, okay, tonight I'm putting a sight reading requirement on Sight Reading Factory. Go home or go to the library after school or whatever you need to do to use the computer and sign on to your Sight Reading Factory account. You're going to see a sight reading example waiting for you. So you're going to choose the parameters. And then what will happen is they will choose to do that. They have like one practice round they can do, or you can choose even to not let them practice it. And then the computer will turn on the mic and it will record your student singing that sight reading example. And then it will deposit that recording into a little Dropbox on your teacher end, and then you can grade it. So it doesn't grade automatically for you, but I'm sure that feature will come eventually. But right now, you can listen to your student singing back. The way people implement this, the student account part, for the first time when they begin Sight Reading Factory, the thing that I've heard most is that they take their Allstate kids, the kids that they know are going to be auditioning for Allstate, and they buy student accounts for them so they can practice the Allstate requirements at home. And I know now that Don and Adam are working on figuring out what the Allstate requirements are for every state in the country, if they are standardized, and then they're giving pre-configured examples like that you can choose. I want the Texas TTBB Allstate example, type of thing. And then that way they're not having to plug in specifications every time. There's like it's a custom example, sight reading example kind of thing that's going on now. So there's a lot of coding happening over there at Sight Reading Factory, but it's getting more and more awesome every day.
You look at the Virginia Allstate Choir audition and the New York State Music Association sight reading criteria. It's just incredible what's available to you, and then you can set it to disappear after you have disappearing measures, and you can set your preferences to disappear before or after you play them. It's just so much you can do with that.
Right, it teaches your kids to read ahead, you know, and that kind of thing.
That is, yeah, very so, very.
And it's also possible if you teach band as well as choir, Sight Reading Factory works in wind ensemble format. It works in orchestral format. Yes. So, and it's cheap.
You select the instrument, and the great thing is, you could just have a folder. If you don't have that whiteboard capability, have a folder. It's got a print feature right on there, and so they just randomly pick it, and that's their sight reading for the moment.
Right. Exactly. So
based on the criteria of how difficult you want the rhythms and time signature and keys.
So Choir Nation, if you want Sight Reading Factory, go to the website and then use the promo code NINJA when you check out, and you'll get those 10 free student accounts to use. It's the best $35. It's $35, people. It's the best $35 you will ever use. And when you order, I think it's 200 student accounts, the price is as low as $2 per student. So you're still coming in cheaper than like Soundtrap for the year and stuff.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely. Yeah.
And you're building in these core skills that kids will need to use to learn to read their music quicker. You know, they're going to need you to spoon feed them less and less because they're learning how to actually sight sing. So it's pretty awesome. So use it. What's the next one, Greg?
I have.
Oh, did you figure out that Symbaloo thing?
Yeah, no, it does not do the specific example. I think it just has to do with the engine that Sight Reading Factory uses. It just brings you to the selection where you can select. But it's a quick click on it. You're ready to go. You click your next selections, and you're ready to go. So
okay, so you can bring it do every right example. To like the specification selections
right.
page. Okay, cool. Well, it saves time,
but. Yeah, absolutely, and it brings you to the app page, which allows you to select, you know, instrument and the last thing you did, basically.
Gotcha.
On that, notation software in general, just things like Sibelius, which not only is a great notation and Finale and other things like that. In case you're looking for the different price ranges of notation applications, you've got Sibelius, Finale, Notion, Staff Pad, as I said earlier, Soundtrap, but not as robust as things like Sibelius and Finale, but does the job. And then there's always Staff Pad. I don't know if any of you have a Microsoft Surface Pro 4, but Staff Pad and I think Sibelius now has it. I'll be honest, I haven't tried it yet because I've been using Staff Pad. You take your stylus, you hand write the notation in, and when you go to the next measure, it has turned what you've written into MIDI notation, into notation, computer printed notation. It's absolutely incredible. But notation applications like Sibelius and Finale and Staff Pad, they're absolutely wonderful for manipulating not just your accompaniments. You can have it play back for you, and you can speed it up, slow it down as much. But being such a great composition tool where you teach your students to sing what they read, and as they compose, they start to identify those intervals in their head and be able to audiate so well. Mm-hmm. I can't encourage people enough to make their students compose.
Great. That's awesome. And Staff Pad looks insane. That looks
amazing. Oh, Staff Pad. If just watching the 1 minute promo video, if that doesn't get you excited about buying it, and it was, I think it was, when I bought it, it was around $50, $60, $70. And when you look at some of the other notation software that's $300, $400, it's certainly worth it.
All right. And last but not least, I think this is a no-brainer for everybody.
Yeah, it kind of is. Google Classroom is just it integrates everything for you, and it's for the most part free. You know, the school districts are paying the console, the management fee for you in most places. The school where I work, we are a one-to-one school with Chromebooks, and each student just they get their feed of their assignments. They log into their classroom, and you can just post their audition music. So even before we started, I signed my students up, and they had their very first assignment as they walked in to the class through a Google Classroom. You invite the parents and guardians to be a part of that, and they can see what you're doing in class as well.
There you go. I mean, I think most people are probably on Google Classroom at this point.
I think so at this point. If you're not, look it up or email me, and I'll be happy to help you get through that. It's such an incredible tool, and I think they're blowing education out of the water for this. It's a great thing.
That's great. Well, hopefully Google, you know, does what they're doing for longer. I hope they don't implode or something. I feel like my whole life is on Google, so please don't, like, I don't know, melt down or anything. Yes. Because wow, I have, you know, I'm the Android phone guy with the Google, everything's on Google Drive and all this stuff. It's crazy.
Well, the fact that you can do a Google form and do a quick quiz as kids walk into the classroom, take a quick quiz using Google Forms, it can grade it for you and send it right back to you.
And by the way, if you do Google Forms, and I'm going to add this, if you do Google Form quizzes or like a little survey or, you know, an exit ticket as they walk out of the room or something like that, use either the Google URL shortener, which is goo.gl. When you share, you're not sharing like Google, like docs.google.com/, you know,
10 billion characters.
Right. So go to like goo.gl, and then it might be like, you know, goo.gl/, you know, 671 lowercase z 5, or, you know, and it's like not something crazy. And they can complete a survey on their cell phone or something, or use tiny URL. Because then you can do like, I do this for when, if I want to have like an audience survey or something like that at a concert, you can project audience survey, you know, tinyurl.com/, you know, let's say you're the, I don't know, the Highland High School, HHS, you know, HHS survey, right? So tinyurl/HHS survey or something. And that will be... Yep. You know, something that's a little bit that you can choose. You can choose what the URL says. That way, you're not trying to distribute that gigantic URL from forms or
Bit.ly.
Whatever. Or
Bit.ly. B-I-T-L-Y. Yeah, it's another great one that I use.
Bit.ly, right?
Bit.ly.
Or is that .com?
I think it's bit.ly.com. Yeah, it's bit.ly.com.
Oh, okay. So there you go. That is, that's something great. I will throw in one additional piece.
I have one more suggestion after you're done. So okay. Go ahead.
One thing I use, and I use this to schedule all of my interviews. I use Calendly, which is calend.ly, like calendar, Calendly. So it's a .ly address. But I think actually calendly.com also works too, but it's a scheduling tool. So if you have parent-teacher conferences or something like that, instead of doing a sign-in sheet, you can share with them your Calendly URL, and you can pre-configure the times. So like I'm going to do a 45-minute, that's too long, a half-hour conference with 5 minutes in between, and I'm going to offer 20 spots on these particular days. And then people will go to the URL, and then they can sign up for a time. It will send you and them multiple confirmations saying this person's coming at this time. It will email remind them automatically. You can set that up.
And that was awesome, by the way. I got these reminders.
Yeah, so Greg got one 24 hours before his podcast interview. He got one hour before his podcast interview, and he got one 10 minutes before his podcast interview so that he wouldn't stand me up on Skype, right? So this is something that you can do to make sure that your flaky parents don't flake out on their conferences, so you're not sitting there doing nothing, especially on your half-day conference day, and they're the last person, and you're like waiting there for them. And you could just go home, right? So use Calendly. There's also one called Schedule Once, but that one I think is a little more expensive. Calendly is free for the most part. I pay for it, but it's like $10 a month, which is, I think some people wouldn't even mind paying for it out of their own money if it saves some time. So that's that. What is your last one, Craig?
I just wanted to make a suggestion. I've been doing it once a year for the last 4 or 5 years, and it's a concert called Cell Phones Required. And it's just a way to get, you know, they're bringing their cell phones and mm-hmm. half of them are, you know, engaged in other activities while they're listening to their lovely sons and daughters sing. But engage them with their devices, and whether you use Symbaloot with a bunch of icons for each piece, you know, Wikipedia links or different things, make them engage with their cell phones in a variety of ways that bring information to them. They're going to be reading their cell phones during half the pieces anyway. Let them engage in the actual piece that they're doing. And I don't know, it's a blast. And we even prepared about a dozen pieces extra that we had previously, and we let them vote on the next piece that we were going to sing for the second half of the concert.
Oh, that's so cool. That's really cool. Yeah, that's amazing. And I think, yeah, Symbaloo and like those, that little, so you have those little tiles that they can interact with during the concert.
Or even a Google form as they, you know, or text message a vote, or I wouldn't go as far as a Facebook feed necessarily on a screen or anything, but it might work. You never know.
That's really cool. That's a great way to do it. So, Greg, how can we find more about you online and... Where can we reach you? How can we find you?
Well, it's Greg Ashurst, GREIGASHURST @gmail.com. I actually am in the midst of redoing my own personal website, which is gregashurst.com, but I just shut it down and I'm starting fresh with a new look. So that'll be up soon, but probably not within the next month. Cool. I teach at Cathedral Carmel School in Lafayette, Louisiana, and you can find me at cathedralcarmel.com.
Awesome. And we'll find you now in the Choir Nation Facebook group.
Absolutely.
Great. Well, Choir Nation, I'm so excited to hear how you put to use all of these tools that Greg has so graciously brought us today. So, Greg, thanks for being my guest on the Choir Ninja podcast.
Thank you so much. It's been a blast. Choir.